I'm Sunny St. Leonard's on the south coast of the UK. This is the Keto Woman Podcast, brought to you by me, Daisy Brackenhall. Hello, keto lovelies, and welcome to episode number 208, which is the second part of my chat with Susie Edge. This week, she's talking more about the strategies she's used to help her get back on track. And it sounds like she really is powering towards a new goal she has for December, which I will let her tell you about. As I mentioned last week, I was struggling to come up with a name for these new episodes. So a big thanks to Becky for thinking of Bouncing Back. I asked in my Daisy's Lovelies group if anyone had any bright ideas, and Becky had lots. But everyone's favourite, including mine, was Bouncing Back. So there you go. That's the new name. Thanks, Becky. What's been going on this week? Well, more of the same. The floor guy has been carrying on with the floors, although he was off yesterday and today, something to do with blisters, I'm not sure. And although it's frustrating for things to come to a halt, it's always a bit of a relief when I have the place back to myself again, I have to admit. I got stuck in myself, spent most of Wednesday helping out, taking the skirting boards off, and we had to put some new joists in. And then there was some demolition work in the room next door where I've got a whole wall where the plaster's blown and it has to come off. So basically making a right old mess. Although today I've broken from my new routine, this week I've started somewhat of a new routine by going swimming really early. Well, really early for me. I've been trying to get down to the sea and in the water somewhere between 7 and 8, as close to 7 as I can make it. And then coming back, turning straight round, taking the dogs out. So having all that stuff done and out the way. And I found that means I can get much more done. And I've got lots to do at the moment. Lots of editing, lots of DIY, needing to be around in case the floor guy needs things, all that kind of stuff. So it just makes sense really to try and get it done in the first part of the day and partly before he gets here. And it's been working quite well. It feels quite good and it's a nice time of the day to be down there. The water's been really calm and it's lovely. Have a swim, come out, and first coffee of the day on the beach. What's not to like really? But today's a sad day. The dogs and I will be going up to the dog park shortly, a bit later than we normally go, to meet up with a friend who sadly had to have her stately old gent, Ted, put down last night. Ted was a fabulous lurcher and was one of the very first dogs we met. We went into the park one day and were only just inside the gates. My dogs were still a little bit nervous. Even Amy, who you wouldn't believe, was as nervous as she was these days. And this huge, great lumbering lurcher came bounding up and was there in her face, and she didn't really know what to do about it. She was rather overwhelmed. But it wasn't long before she got used to him. And from the next time she saw him, she was running round and round and round with him. And he's been a great friend to her. And Rocket too. I have to attribute to Ted, actually, a lot of Rocket's development. He saw the relationship that built between Amy and Ted and started seeing what fun could be had. And I do think he also likes getting together with boy dogs. I have a feeling maybe he gets overwhelmed sometimes by the overbearing female presence in this house, being the only boy. There's definitely a slight difference, and Ted was one of his favourites. All my dogs have always been so, so pleased to see him. So it's a very sad day to know that we'll be going to the park with no more Ted. He and his family did their very best, battling the cancer that came back, but it was not to be. So sleep well, dear Ted. You are going to be greatly missed. It is, however, shaping up to be a nice day weather-wise. It started off a bit dismal, which is one of the reasons why I didn't go down for a swim. But the blue skies are back, so it will be a nice walk in a minute up to the park. And I have a feeling there are going to be quite a few people there. Someone was asking me yesterday how my dairy-free experiment was going, and I have to say, fairly well, annoyingly. I think I probably do better not having dairy, but I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to bring it back in every now and then, because I really do enjoy cheese and butter especially. And there are quite a few things that are just off the cards if you're dairy free, as I'm sure you're aware, if you also need to be dairy free. But overall, I have to admit that most of those things are treaty type things and things that I've been eating in addition to my meals. And it's made me very aware of that. So a good lesson learned from that point of view, if nothing else. And they were asking me how long I've been dairy free. And to be honest, I'm not sure, because I stupidly forgot to make a note of when I started. But it's got to be at least a month now. So I'm thinking of starting to test a few things just to see what my reaction is like to them. That's the beauty, of course, of doing an elimination diet with your system completely clear. When you do test whatever it is, if you have a response to it, it really slaps you around the face. So you get a good, clear idea of how your body is going to react to it. So we shall see. I'll let you know when I start testing. Overall, though, I have to admit, I haven't found it as hard as I thought I would. The cravings were very intense to start with. But once you get past those, it just becomes a slight practical challenge, thinking of ways around typical things you'd eat that would have dairy in them. I've been surprised, though, how easy it is, really. So my hope is that I'll be able to enjoy a bit of dairy from time to time, but that my general day-to-day, I think, is going to be predominantly dairy-free. So that's a roundup of my news. I do hope wherever you are, you're heading into a lovely weekend and that you enjoy some downtime, hopefully. But for now, I hope you enjoy the second part of my episode with Susie.
Do you know what's really funny is that now I have just short of 200,000 followers on TikTok.
Bloody hell. Yeah. Really? Yeah. Crikey. I don't do the TikTok side. I occasionally see a funny video coming my way on TikTok, but it's, yeah, just another platform that I haven't got involved in.
It was something that I started a bit of fun, you know, and then I started thinking, well, what should I do it on? Because I'm not going to put on a bikini and start dancing like the teenagers. So I'll just do what I do, and I'll talk about my history stuff, my kings and queens and all the rest. I got just shy of 200,000 followers on there, but I have never said anything about these other parts of my life, about the fact that I do what I do, you know, with diet and all this, and these things that I spend most of my time thinking about when I'm not writing the book. And I did wonder, actually, what would happen, what sort of response I would get. People on there think I'm in my 20s, which I think is hilarious.
Great.
Yeah, it's nice. It's really nice. People think I'm in my 20s. So I say I'm not. And they're like, oh, what's your secret? And I think,
ah, well, that's your way in.
I think, well, if you really knew.
Bacon and eggs.
Bacon and eggs. Cold showers. Wash my face with soap. What more do you want? Like, you know, do I look? I don't know why I look in my 20s.
I saw a post. You were doing a bit of, I'm a bit hesitant about calling it wild swimming, because that's got a bit of a reputation now. I just like to call it swimming in the sea. But, you know, cold water swimming, whatever it is, I think you were splashing around in a icy cold river somewhere.
Yeah, well, we're in the north of Scotland, and even in the summer, you know, it runs. Sometimes I wonder if there are actual glaciers up there that we don't know about, because it's pretty cold. But yeah, my daughter's obsessed with swimming, and when all the swimming pools were shut, that was the answer. So we went down and jumped in the River Dee a few times. I just started noticing how good it made me feel.
Bit addictive.
Really addictive. And it was just a wee while ago when I thought to myself, have I got the commitment to go and have a cold shower? You know, to do that regularly, even if it's just 30 seconds. Because I know that the health, you know, the biochemical benefits of cold thermogenesis, I hear about that all the time. Can I do that? So I just started having cold showers every day. And then this morning, my husband said, why don't we just go and jump in the river? And I thought, it's nearly October. So I haven't got quite that far yet to do it in the winter.
Oh, I fully plan to be going in the sea year round. I mean, to be fair, I started in March when it was pretty well at its coldest. I think it was about 8 degrees when we went in. It went down to 7, and I've been reliably informed that's about as cold as it gets. The outside temperature wasn't that cold. So I think that will be the challenge, will be the cold water, which is great. That's exhilarating. It's the sort of getting changed afterwards when maybe it's, you know, only a couple of degrees.
That's what I said to him. I said, all very well having a cold shower, but I can turn it to hot. I can get out and stand by a radiator. If we go down to the river, I can't do that.
No, exactly. But again, it comes with a bit of planning, you know, things to wrap yourself up in, having clothes that are easy to put on so that you can get reasonably dry and clothed and warm again quickly, taking a hot drink, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, you like your planning, you like your preparing. So that's the way to do it. But I found, because I tried the old cold shower thing in France, and I did it the easy way, you know, where you have your normal shower and then you just switch it to cold at the end for even just a few seconds. And I could never get into it. It was just, I just hate this. It's horrible. It's only since I've been swimming and gotten used to regularly that full immersion in cold water that now I do that with my shower at the end and switch it, completely switch the hot water off, and actually really like it, like the feeling of that cold water, and it's not difficult at all. So it's interesting it went that way for me. It, you know, it just wasn't possible before, but since swimming in the sea, it's fine.
Well, I'm hoping that doing this will make me better able to go and jump in the river without drama.
Well, it is all about acclimatization, for sure.
Yeah. To be honest, the cold shower thing was, yes, it was about the wanting to feel good and all the rest of it, but it was actually comes back to, we were talking about the daily routine.
Right.
And I wrote down a number of things that I would like to do, which didn't actually always involve food or fasting.
Mm.
And they were some sort of meditative practice. So I write morning pages now. I have the cold shower. I take magnesium. That's always on there. I fast and I eat keto. Those are 5 things that I've done every day now for weeks, and I just tick them off every day. That's something that I've never really done before, had a routine. And somebody a while ago suggested an app to me where you put in habits that you'd like to form and you tick them off every day. And I just found that stressful because I didn't like it when I missed it. But I've really, that was one of the things that I thought, if you're going to get over this, then you have to start planning and having a routine and ticking the box. And this is something I've not done before. And we know that, you know, if you always do the same thing, you always get what you always got. So try something new. And this, at the moment, this is my honeymoon period of doing that.
Well, I was going to say to you, actually, it's all very well when things are working well and you have your routine and it's easy enough to stick to that routine. Have you tested it yet? How much have you tested it? How much have you challenged it? How much have you had to go somewhere and not have that non-keto meal or whatever it is? Or have you just always had strategies in place to get around it?
I haven't really had to yet in that regard. Not for the daily routine. Some family came to visit up here last week and we went to the pub, and of course that was nice and easy because I just had something that was, I chose something that was going to be what I wanted and said no to the potatoes. One person at the table went, but I ignored her.
To be honest, it's not that, depending where you go, of course, but in general, it's usually not that difficult to eat out these days.
No, it was fine. Mm. So I had a martial arts grading last week. We were out all day in the hall. It was hard. It was 2.5 hours, actually. And I mean, that's a half marathon if you're a runner. Mm. I was pretty done in by the end of it. And as I was driving home, I phoned my husband and I said, oh, what are we going to do about dinner? I haven't really, you know, started cooking anything, didn't write anything on today's plan because I was doing this and I just didn't plan for it. And he said, we'll just pop by the fish and chip shop. So I said, okay. And then driving for like half an hour to the chip shop, I thought, oh, what am I going to get? Well, shall I just not get anything? What am I going to do? Now the kids have heard that they're getting fish and chips. So I, you know,
no going back.
And we got there and it was shut.
Oh, no.
I just thought, oh, no, it was great. It was really good because then I didn't have to have that conversation with myself. So, yeah, it's the daily routine has not been tested. It's coming up to half term here soon. The kids have 2 weeks off.
But that was quite a good challenge. So what did you do? What did you have for dinner?
I nipped around to the shop and I bought a load of stuff to make a bolognese and did that with courgettes. Right. So it worked out really well. And I just had to accept that I was going to cook for half an hour. Like, what? You know, yeah, that was where it ended up. What would I have done had the chip shop been open? Actually, I was not in the mood for fish and chips. I had told myself that I was not having it. So I would have come home and found something.
Well, I mean,
for me, just for me.
Yeah, you know, especially if it's just for yourself, it's not that difficult to whip up some scrambled eggs or something. If it's all about just filling a hole. I think the difficulty comes in if you start going down that track and making excuses. Well, you know, actually, gosh, yeah, I do quite fancy fish and chips. And now I've got the thought of having fish and chips in my head and I can't get it out. So there's no way I'm going to be able to avoid it. And you're going to end up having it. But actually, if you're thinking, you know, I'm not that bothered. Yeah, I'll get fish and chips for everybody else and I'll make myself some scrambled eggs or something quick. It's so dependent how strong you're feeling in the moment, isn't it? That's where if you haven't got that plan in place already, it becomes really difficult. See, if you'd have thought to yourself the day before, that's going to be quite a grueling day. I'm going to be tired. Let's make something to have it left in the fridge. So you knew you had it on the way home. So you wouldn't even thought about going for the fish and chips on the way home.
Would have made all the difference. And I wouldn't have had to have that wrestle match with myself. And this time I won.
Exactly.
I mean, this time I won because the shop was shut, but this time I would have won. Next time it's not necessarily the case. The next one's going to last 4 hours. So if I don't prepare for that one.
It's tricky. I mean, sometimes things come out of nowhere.
Yes.
It's not anything that we can plan for, and that's different. But it is a really big takeaway is even if you sort of rebel against, like I rebel against almost anything, but the thought of planning and putting something in place, that really does make the difference. I would say that's a key strategy for trying to claw your way back.
I've never been one for diaries and, you know, just that sort of sitting down on a Sunday night with the diaries and planning what was coming. And it's always just been in here, in my head. I pointed to my head. And I've just got on with it in that way. But also at the same time, I've become more fit and become bigger and gotten out of shape and not where I wanted to be. So if it's going to change, it's going to have to change in a lot of ways. And one of those was to start planning and to start being on top of it. And you're right. I will need to test it. I think even having this conversation and really nailing down the fact that this is helping will be good for me. In the coming months, that I have to be a planner.
And you mentioned, I know, I'm the same. I kind of quite like writing to-do lists and then hiding them away somewhere because I find them stressful when I have them. I'm a very good planner, actually. I'm just not always very good at seeing those things through. I think through things a lot in my brain, and talking to Terry about these things a lot, there's, you know, when you imagine doing something, your body quite often does partially think you've done it. You can use this to your advantage with a lot of things, but it's also not advantageous in the fact where you kind of think you've done it because you've thought about it so much and you planned it in so much detail in your head. Your brain and your body have said, okay, well, we've done that now. And then you never actually end up getting around to doing it.
It's amazing, that feeling. I've had that with writing the book. Like, I've gone to bed at night and I thought, right, tomorrow I'm going to write about Richard III and I'm going to write this and I'm going to write that and the other. And I wake up in the morning and think, oh,
I've got to actually sit do down it now.
Got to do it, yeah. But yeah, definitely planning. And the other thing, I mean, I mentioned it before about the community, but the other thing was definitely being there, chatting and seeing what other people are saying and listening to the non-dramatic podcasts. not getting too bogged down in the fights that other people are having.
Yeah, really curate your news feed.
Yes, absolutely. I've done that with the news, yeah.
Oh, yes, news. Yeah. I rarely watch the news anymore, but I've really curated the hell out of my Facebook news feed. So all those places that I used to end up getting into arguments with people, places that tend to just, make me angry and frustrated, and I've just taken them out. And I know it's difficult in some ways because there are dangers of making your bubble too comfortable, you do need to challenge your beliefs and, all the rest of it sometimes. But when you're feeling able, when you're feeling strong, when you're feeling vulnerable, you could just do without all of that stuff, all that noise. You just need to quiet it down for a while.
I completely agree. And going back to basics was the answer. Stopping getting dragged down by somebody talking about some molecule, it was literally getting like that, the talking about the biochemistry. Kind of back into it now because I like that, but I was starting to get bogged down and just going back to basics. It's been the answer the last wee while. Even this morning I went through and I, was sort of looking longingly at the bread bin, and the eggs are deliberately sitting in front of the bread bin. Yeah. So I was like, no, I'll have some bacon and eggs. Just going back to the beginning, going back to basics, cutting out all that noise, writing my plan, which was not overstretching. Like, I didn't write a plan that had 10 things a day on it where I was going to get stressed about not doing it. It's got to be achievable. And even to a degree, I bring it lower than that. Because once I've achieved that, then so what? So my target is when I do, going back to the showers, when I get in the shower, if I'm in there for 2 minutes, I'm happy. I just stand there and count and breathe and think about breathing and counting. That's all I do. And suddenly 2 minutes is gone. And anything above that's a bonus. And I've been staying in for 5-6 minutes now. So it's just setting the, going even below the targets of, the big targets.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be stupidly easy. Yeah. I can't remember whether it's James Clear or BJ Fogg or probably both that talk about the really tiny steps. It's the small steps, and anything that feels like a step is too daunting. Anything that makes you question it, make it smaller, make it stupidly small, make it so crazy small. Like, the example they give is, flossing one tooth. Make it so easy because you will naturally do more. 10 seconds of a cold shower.
Yep.
All that feels like too much. Make it three. You make it so easy that it's impossible to say no to. Because then when you achieve that, however small it is, I did that.
That's the achievement.
And it makes you more likely to keep doing it. Absolutely.
And then I feel even better that I've done more, because often you do more.
Exactly.
You do push more. And that's, I think, is a really good strategy. I like that a lot. Mm. And I've been doing that a lot with different things as well. Other stuff, writing or whatever. I don't sit down and choose, like, say, I'm going to write 2,000 words today. No way. But quite often I'll do it because I've thought, I'll write 400.
Well, and I think, like you say, it's looking at other areas of your life as well, because that's the other thing. If you can feel a sense of achievement in anything, if you're really struggling with food at the moment, taking something else, cold showers, whatever it is that you feel like you can achieve, because it's contagious, and that feeling is good, and that the feeling of achievement you get from it, whatever it is, and then it makes it more likely and more easy to chip away at the things that you're finding harder to do.
Very much so. And I think if you look at the whole theme really of what we've been talking about, the food and the keto diet and fasting as well, I guess, comes into that as well. But that's only a tiny chunk of the problem, or where it went wrong, or not doing that's only a little bit of it. The rest is all those other things, the other environmental impacts and the other work impacts and COVID and everything else, and too much overwhelm from different podcasts and all these other things. And actually, I think the biggest thing that's impacted me lately is those other things, the meditative practice, the breathing in the shower, the just totally taking my mind off the rest of the world to do that, to do morning pages every morning, to think about just ticking the box when I've gone and taken a magnesium. I take it because I get a lot of cramp. things like that have been even more helpful and more kind of like, you know, if I've done all those things, I'm damned if I'm going to go and eat a sandwich.
Yeah.
You know, because I've managed to do all those other things. So, yeah, I think that was something that I never really took into account in those early days when I was so, so excitable about it all and doing so well. Those other things didn't really come into it so much. I'm not sure why. The other thing, of course, that people really struggle with are two things, really. One is sleep, and that's something I've never had an issue with. I just very, very lucky, sleep very well. And the other is I just chain drink strong coffee.
Oh, yeah.
And that was something that I cut back on as well a few weeks ago, and I just have my morning very big cup, and that's it. And I've been feeling the better for that as well, I think. But that comes into it as well.
Yes, I could do with cutting it back. I say I don't drink it all day by any accounts, although I will sometimes have some decaf coffee later on. But I've noticed that the number of cups I have that I squeeze into that period of time, that, yeah, usually it has to round about midday. I don't usually drink anything after midday. But I have been finding that the number of cups I'm having in that time period is just creeping up. And, you know, it used to be one, then it was two, then it was three, then it was four. And it's like, I'm very aware of anything when I start feeling like I'm starting to lose control over a substance. It's one of the reasons why I've been trying dairy free for a while. Yes, I want to test the impact. I know it has an impact. I want to test how much impact and how much impact different kinds of dairy has. But, you know, just being aware of the things that you just lose control over. But, you know, nuts are the thing that are out the window for a while now as well. It's just dangerous territory, I feel, that can also be a gateway into other problematic foods apart from anything else.
I feel like, see, I've done that as well, nuts and a lot of things are just gone. So for now, and I do feel like I've sort of jumped in a bit extreme in terms of keto carnivore, I guess, is mostly at the moment where I'm at.
Yeah, that's where I'm heading for a while. I don't think it's
a bad thing at all. I feel great. I feel brilliant. But what am I trying to get at? I think I find I never want to give advice about extreme things because I think there's going to be more pushback.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that I worry that somebody listening to me right now would be like, what do you mean you've done this and you've done this and you've done this and you've done this and you've done this? And, you know, we're often told just pick one thing at a time and build up to it. But I have felt, for me personally, that that was a problem because there was so much that I was doing that was not good for me. And therefore, a bit of cold turkey is probably not a bad idea for a while.
Yeah, you see, I've been more the opposite this time. I've been more knocking one thing out at a time. For a while now, I've been thinking, I haven't regained a huge amount. And to be honest, I was having this conversation with somebody the other day and saying, although I would like to lose some weight, I'm not at a weight that's hugely problematic. I've just started to notice a few, you know, creaking, aching joints and things like that. And it might be weight. It might actually be that what I'm eating. Not entirely sure. But yes, so I've been thinking for a while that I just want to get strict, but I haven't felt like just doing it overnight. So that's where it's been, right? The dairy goes first, but I've been sort of pushing that, white knuckling it down the line, because to a certain extent, not completely, but to a certain extent, I replace some of that by, you know, playing around with making some coconut ice cream and things like that. So I kind of had a bit of a dairy replacement, but knocked it out in many other areas and relied more heavily on the nuts and the nut butters and things and making things with that. So, you know, now the coconut and the nuts are out, and I'm sure there'll be other things that I'm relying on a bit more heavily. So I've been doing it more in the stages rather than just overnight. So there are many ways to approach something.
There are many ways.
And it depends where you are on your journey as well, whether this is the start for you, this is whether, you know, you're coming back after a period of struggling. I think that's part of the benefits of having had however many periods of feeling like everything's great. And also periods of it all going a bit wrong, because you know how to do it. Mm-hmm. And you also know there are different ways to do it and you can play around with which is going to work best for you this time.
This time, for sure, for me, I have a specific goal that in December I can grade for my black belt.
Oh, exciting.
Which, as I said, is really important to me. Mm. And whilst I have all the technical things down, bit to work on, but technically I'm okay. But if I try and do this kind of explosive exercise for 4 hours, I knew a few months ago, I knew that I wasn't going to get through that unless I sorted myself out and did something about it. And when I sat down not so long ago, I found that I had 100 days to go. And therefore, it just seemed like a really good goal with a good timeline. And therefore, that's
achievable.
Yeah, achievable. Mm. And therefore, and that's why the sort of, that's why the extreme of stop this, deal with that, do all these things, because I've been saying to myself, I've had this kind of mantra of just, you want this and you've got to do everything in your power, because if you don't, you'll regret it.
But that's another really good tip though, isn't it? Is finding something that you want more.
Yeah.
And something that's in quite, you know, a lot of detail. I mean, think about things that you've really wanted to do in the past that haven't been particularly easy to do. I don't know, riding a bike. I mean, how painful is learning how to ride a bike? Chances are you're going to fall off and hurt yourself. Chances are it's going to be really difficult. Learning how to drive. I can remember that, you know, God, the frustration with, you know, you spent years watching your parents drive, other people drive. Well, that looks easy. You know, when you think about as it's coming up to your turn to learn, oh, yeah, that's a piece of cake. It won't be that hard. And then you suddenly realize, actually, it really is. There's a lot to think about here. There's a lot to learn. But you have a very refined, specific goal. You really want to drive. There's probably very good reasons for that. You know, me, it was living in the countryside and having freedom, being able to get to see my friends, all the rest of it. A very specific goal. And you're not too worried about all the challenges and the pain and the difficulties you go through to get to that. So your goal has got to be something that you want more than cake or whatever it is.
Yes. And that's not something that's easy to just pick out of the air.
No, not at all.
You can't just go, unless you do set yourself a physical challenge of some sort, that's not that easy to just grab it out of the air and run with it. This has been coming for me for, you know, 4 or 5 years. I've been doing this martial art now. So it's, it just happens that this is now my time to go and get it. And therefore, I'm doing everything within my power to do that. And that's why it's all coming together at the moment. So if we have a chat on the 14th of December, which is a couple of days later, and my next birthday, I might be a bit broken and sort of looking forward to Christmas cake. But at the moment, that's my goal and that's where I'm at. And as you say, in a way, I do feel a bit cringy saying that I'm just being extreme with all these things. But that's where I'm at the moment. And, you know, we're all at different places and we all have different ways to do it. But if there's anything within that that helps somebody say, oh, yeah, actually, I might try that, or she's mad, I'm not going anywhere near that, then at least they've taken that possibility out the window as well.
Well, I think that's what's interesting. And I think hearing, you know, the more stories you hear of people in similar situations and how they found their way through, the better, really.
Absolutely.
Well, before we go, you did mention before we started recording that you have another podcast going. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, this came out of the TikToks, actually, and the making of the history videos. And I started making a podcast called Warts and All, which is all just about, it started about the kings and queens and their deaths and lots of medical history. And I've got a bit of a history club. So I have guests on and we just chew the fat about history and death and dying and things like that. It's quite funny that in this sort of two silos in my life, on the one of them, I talk about how people died and what they went through and what happened to their body afterwards and how often the coffins were opened up and all the rest of it. And in the other half, I'm completely obsessed with staying out of that coffin and not getting anywhere near that sort of stuff. I'm sure there's probably some sort of psychological link between those two. But yeah, that's what I get up to as well.
Oh, that sounds great fun. I will be taking a listen to that. Fantastic. Well, Susie, you know how we finish these shows. Have you got a top tip for us, please?
I think the last time or the first time we chatted, I said that, you know what, just give it a go, because time will fly and next week will come and go whether you tried it or not. So just, you know, give it a try and see what happens. And yeah, I still stick by that. Absolutely. You know, December will come and go whether I spend the next 3 months working hard for it or not. But I think what's really come home to me more in the last wee while is the necessity for community, however you find that community. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's been, you know, on a Facebook page. For others, it's physical, although that's been harder. You know, one of the good things about the likes of Weight Watchers and Slimming World was the community.
Absolutely.
The getting together, the talking, mm-hmm. the sharing of stories, the sharing of problems and the problem solving, or even just a shoulder to cry on or someone to rant to. And I think that that's really, really important. I have an absolutely fantastic group of friends, all mums, all doctors, who are in a WhatsApp group on my phone. There's 15 of us, and to have them there every day to talk to. We actually all got together through being involved with intermittent fasting one way or another. So we rant to each other every day, and having that there.
I remember you talking about that before.
Having those people there has just been everything, and being able to find people when I need them to talk to, rant to, because when I reached out, that's when things started to change for me. And there are a lot of us there just willing to pay it forward and help out and give suggestions and share some silly anecdotes and, you know, go find it online. Go find, you know,
absolutely
what's good for you, because there's so much stuff that will overwhelm. And it happened to me. But if you can find the non-dramatic stuff that you find helpful, then that's brilliant.
And it can feel, it's all so much harder to deal with when you think you're on your own. And I can guarantee you're not. Mm-hmm. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever your problems, whatever you're feeling guilty about, there'll be somebody else who's been through at least something similar, who's more than happy to help.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, I have really enjoyed our catch-up. Thank you so much for sparing some of your time to share with me today.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me back. It's been quite cathartic, actually, having a think through the last few months, and maybe I'll put a few demons to rest after that.
Thank you, Susie. Been a great pleasure. Thank you for staying with me right to the end, and I do hope that you enjoyed my first Bouncing Back episode. Maybe this is something you're struggling with or you've been through yourself, and maybe you'd like to come on the podcast and share your story, share your tips and strategies and things that have helped you and might help others who are having a hard time themselves. Well, do get in touch with me if that's the case. And before long, I could be introducing you on your very own episode. But for now, I will leave you with this week's end quote, which is from Giancarlo Rota. A good teacher does not teach facts. He or she teaches enthusiasm, open-mindedness, and values. Until next time, please take very good care, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye, keto lovelies.